When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, Antonio T. Smith Jr. here. I'm excited to be in front of you. Ina, who normally upload all our episodes, is getting ready to upload a special episode from you right now. Jalen, the head of my media department, the head of my media everything, did a wonderful interview with me. He's actually one of the first people to actually sit down and go through so many things about the book and bring it out. So you're getting ready to listen to an hour and 33 minute interview, but it's near and dear and special to me, not just because of the content, because of the person. So what I want all of you to do is I want you to go look at the show notes and I want you to find Jalen's YouTube channel in the show notes of this episode and go hit a spin on his thing, but subscribe to him. If I've ever added any value into your life, subscribe to him. It'll mean so much to me. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of Success podcast. I'm so grateful for you. Shout out to you for whoever you are. Thank you for listening to this intro. Let's support Jalen. He's 27, 28 years old, doing his thing. And we love him around here. And I hope you love him too. You can't plan better. You can dominate.
Runny noses and red eyes.
Yes.
And you know what? Sometimes you get those when you talk about things that are important. And today we are definitely going to talk about some things that are important. So I'm going to get
a very artful transition you just did. That was magical. Look at you.
Thank you. I think my mentor might be happy, proud of me, but you might know him as well.
Yeah, and I know something about him.
Okay. But speaking of mentors, Dr. Mm-hmm. Claude Anderson.
Yes.
Legendary name, but I feel like a name that maybe some of the youth don't really know as much. Can you give me just a little bit about your experience working with him and how it made you feel like you needed to take on this book in his honor?
Fair enough. I wish I would have had the opportunity or have the opportunity to work with Dr. Claude Anderson. I have not. However, the book is dedicated to him and he doesn't know it, but I've been working with him for decades just through his books, his videos and his website and stuff. So we've been working together. He just unknowingly has been working with me. He is a hero of Black people. Book one is dedicated to Dr. Claude Anderson. Book two is dedicated to Dr. George Frazier. So it's like saying Muhammad Ali, Sonny Liston, or Sonny Liston, George Frazier. Like it's you know, it's like saying Michael Jordan, LeBron James. It's like saying these, like, who's the best, you know, things like that. So the book is dedicated. Dr. Claude Anderson is responsible for everything that I think about from a financial standpoint of community income. It's 100%. My businesses look like Dr. Claude Anderson told me to do these things. Yep.
So you kind of shaped it, you would say he had kind of shaped your mindset in the way you would run your businesses in other ways.
Sure, because that's going to, that's so he wrote a book called Powernomics over a decade ago, and it lays down the fiscal and financial blueprint that Black people need to do to not be etched out of the competition of society. Of course, when he wrote that book, we had like 6 to 12 months to pay attention. We didn't. Therefore, we're further behind than his book even predicted. And also during his interviews and even inside this book, and he's got Black Labor, White Wealth. He's got other books as well. He has what he called a 5-story building. And then this is where the power matrix comes in, because I start at building 6, or I start a 5-floor building. I start at the 6th floor in chapter 12. I genuinely had to write 11 chapters just to get to my building, because I was picking up from where Dr. Claude Anderson left. His stuff goes, you create a community. That's first floor. Then you get an economy, second floor. Then once you get the community economy going, then you start buying and renting politicians and police officers. That's the third floor. Politicians. And then you start getting police officers. That's the fourth floor. And then you start your own schools and media, schools and media. That's the fifth floor. That is proper intelligence, and that's exactly what the dominant society has done, is doing, and will continue to do. So when I think about those things, I begin to shape my businesses to focus on creating a community first. I didn't try to get loans and use credit cards. What I did before influencer was a thing, I started building, right? I started building thousands of people who could serve as I serve them. They can also serve as my bank. So when I need $100,000, I can bring a $500 product that's worth $50,000, $5,000 to 200 people and get $100,000, assuming those 200 people, my market assumes me to be excellent. If I show myself excellent, then my product excellently, then there it is. And that's all Dr. Claude Anderson. That's all Dr. Claude Anderson. There's no doubt about it.
I like that. I like how you kind of ended on kind of the optics of it, right? If I show out, I know that what I'm going to have is going to show out as well. It's like when we always talked about it in baseball, if I look good, I feel good, I play good. And I love that. So I'm scrolling through the book, right? And I see something about your 8th floor. It's called Communications and Human Resources. And I wanted you to kind of go a little bit into that, because I think a lot of times we don't look at resources the way we should and why they're extremely important.
Hey, well, first off, you're great. You just proved to be a great interviewer. So good job there, because I have the book at hand. I've read the book questions. So shout out to you.
Thank you, sir.
Communications and resources is my 8th floor. First off, resources are the only thing on this planet that has any value. Money does not exist. Nothing exists because we made it up. We there's so right now, but this is a gift. What do you call this? A gift bag, right? You buy them from Walgreens or something. We can make this money if we wanted to. If we all agreed that this is $5, then this would be legal tender. So money is just an agreement. It's a storehouse of wealth and a medium of exchange that we all agree upon. There's no difference. I can take my cell phone. I can type numbers right now. Just so right now, it's 110 in regular people time, right? It's
No,
one.
military time is how it should be. We do it in the hospital too.
And the rest of the world, except for America, right? But 110. There's no difference between that. Could be $1,310. But since we put these in the Diamond and Culture's bank, then they say that 1310 means something. I got it right here. Now I just gained a dollar. Now it's 11, right? I got it right here. So numbers don't mean anything until we. As far as banking system go, until we agree upon this is what they mean. Now, answer your communication. So what I've done is after Claude Anderson, Dr. Claude Anderson, excuse me, when he finished at Schools and Media, I said, all right then, we need to control seven areas after that, and these are floors. So economics, even though he brought up economics, the first in his first floor, I bring it back up in a different way. That's sixth floor or whatever I say in a book. And then finances become seventh floor or whatever I say in a book. Then data, I can't remember what floor is right now because I'm going from memory right here. And then data information is the next floor. And then manufacturing is the next floor. Infrastructure is the next floor. Communications is the next floor, and human resources is the last floor. And I learned that from being a special operations intelligence sergeant for the United States Army, that if we controlled those seven areas, we conquered that country. And I got to realize that when I got out of the military, and so I'm specializing in psychological operations, I've got a top secret security clearance, that's SCI, sensitive compartmentalized information. I get out the military and all I know how to do is be a spy and special operations and psychological operations. And I don't know what to do with it. Kill people, play spades and drink beer. That's all I know what to do. So I start realizing, you know what? I can apply this to business. So communications, if we learn to come up to control our communications, then we're in power. And I give you a great example of that and throw it back to you. I just picked up the phone. The phone is part of a communications. However, that's the text message. That's the iMessage part. The manufacturing of this phone is also part of my plan. The data information, who is the number one government company? So we'll call it entity, the number one entity in the world with the most retinal scans, Apple. Number one entity in the world with the most fingerprints, Apple. They got it so well, you can open your phone with your mask on, assuming we have another pandemic. So the number one harbinger of individual fingerprints and retinal scans is Apple in the world. Then they control communications because the reason why Oprah Winfrey, billionaire, three billionaire, wanted to sign with Apple TV and not even her own TV, Oprah Winfrey Network, is because Apple got 3 billion these devices out in the world. So when Oprah puts a TV
Very
show out,
strategic.
she's got 3,000 TV shows. And my argument here is, and see, Dr. Claude Anderson, he did this. For one, he's not an artificial intelligence engineer like myself. Two, he wrote this book in like 2011 or something. So the web, what you understand, Web 3.0 was, we didn't even have, back then, we didn't even have 3G. You couldn't even send a video over.
We have like HP Vista, I think.
We couldn't do this. So I teched it up a little bit more than what he could have, not from his intelligence. He just wrote 20 years before I did. You get what I'm saying? He just wrote 20 years before I did. So that's the idea of the communications that we, if Black people would invent Messenger, WhatsApp, then we wouldn't also have that community, that economy. We would control that data information. We would have billions of people data information and blah, blah, blah. You get the point. So long answer to your question, but there you go.
Hey, it was a great question. A great answer. Solid question, but great answer.
Yes, sir.
So I heard you mentioned Black people, right?
Indeed.
And I think one thing that maybe someone else might be interested in knowing as well is, are you more pro-Black or pro-people?
I'm extremely pro-Black. Let me not even dodge that question. Let me just come straight out the gate and say I'm very pro-Black.
Yes.
And I'm pro-Black with half my audience being non-Black. I think a third, something like 33% of my audience is old white men. And they're not complaining about me being pro-Black. Let me make that very clear. Because I didn't want to give you a political answer about me being pro-Black. Now, the second part of your question, race is stupid. Don't get it twisted. I don't. So my scientists, my degrees, and my scientific brain are in conflict with my current answer right here. My scientific brain understands there's no such thing as race. People made that up. The founding stone of racism is the doctrine of exclusion of 1611 in Maryland. And y'all trash for even doing that. There's no such thing as race. There's one race, it's the human race. And I get that.
Yes.
However, I live in the white man's world. And I need to account for both the esoteric and what man manipulates. See, in order
Yeah.
to be successful, I need to know God is good up here off screen, but I also need to know when I finish in worship, wherever that may be, wherever you all do that. And once we walk out of those worship doors, you come back down to election day. As a matter of fact, as we're doing this recording, this is the last day for local elections, at least in my area. So what? So everybody last Sunday were hallelujah, but right now they're voting left to right. And see, I have to account for that. And if you truly want to be successful, you need to understand universal laws, but you need to also understand that man is down here creating lack. And I need to account for the 33 strategies of war, as Robert Greene has written down. I need to account for the 48 laws of power, as Robert Greene again has written down. I know that the general public wants me to account for Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. And that works if that's what you like, but that's not going to have the banker across from me say, you're approved for this loan. So we got to be careful there. And one of the greatest, you're going to get me in trouble, but one of the greatest things that we do is we are waiting for Black people. When I say we, let me define who's we. Black people are waiting for God to save us. We're waiting for a leader to be appointed. White people don't have a leader. They have a vision. They have an agenda. White people don't have it. You ain't, where's the white Martin Luther King? Where you at? Where the white Malcolm X?
Trump.
That's a fact. I'll give you that argument. That's something very new in the last 8 years. Very new. And
And technically, a president is the white man's leader, if you think about
I
it.
Well, they have an agenda. The agenda is the leader is the white agenda. It's not a person. See, we're waiting for we're waiting for someone to organize us. They're organized. Remember,
Very true.
they to back to Mr. Trump, because I mean no disrespect here. Remember, he grabbed them by the JJ, and they said, "I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not going to vote for him. I have a daughter too." As soon as he was the Republican nominee, and it was serious, they say, "Give him a chance." Now he got 19 felonies pending, and
And I think he just had court yesterday, too.
he's at court yesterday and at the Supreme Court, and you can't even work at McDonald's with a felony. He gonna win the election with all this stuff pending. So I'm not saying whether that's here's I want everybody hear me, everybody black. The fact, and white people gonna understand me regardless. So let me just white people move aside to real quick. Let me talk to black people just for a moment. I want you to hear me. I'm not making a problem with this. I don't care what Donald Trump does. I don't care what Joe Biden does. I don't care about the next pandemic. Whatever you care about, I don't care about. I care about what Dr. Claude Anderson calls a vertical battle. So what's a vertical battle? So we got peripheral battles and we got vertical battles. A peripheral battle is, well, you're a Christian. You wasn't born one. It's a peripheral battle. So you wasn't born one. You were converted into one. You were born into a Christian family, but you wasn't born a Christian. What's another vertical battle? I'm a man. It's not, that's a peripheral battle. I mean, it's a peripheral battle. You wasn't born a man. Somewhere in the 26 weeks or something, your clitoris became a penis, or your penis became a clitoris, depends on however, whatever you Y chromosome you have. That's another peripheral battle. So every time you're out here trying to fight for women's rights, that's a peripheral battle. And the more you're fighting for women's rights, is the more I'm making money and keeping you distracted. See, I'm going somewhere with this. The more that you're fighting for, I'm a man, you women gonna respect me. Okay. The more you do that, is the more that you are going to let them pass you up and get more money. So what's vertical battles? As long as you're human, you got to pay to be on planet Earth. Money is a vertical battle. Money is between you and the universe, you and God, however you want to process that. Before your mother knew your gender, your mother knew you needed money. That's a vertical
Talk
battle.
to him now.
You understand what I'm saying? But here's another thing. Before your mother knew your gender, your mother knew you were black. It's a vertical battle. That your mother received a black seed and had a black womb. She could have received a white seed. As long as she had a black womb, the vertical battle says, you're gonna be black.
Yep.
So we have to be careful, because Republican and Democrat, it's not a vertical battle, that's a peripheral battle. And there are people, there's an oligarchy, there are people, their entire job, Capitol Hill's entire job, is to keep you fighting peripheral battles so you can never go get money and get the freedom that you rightfully deserve. I say this last thing. I want everybody to listen to me, and to including you, Mr. Jalen, Mr. Host here. Think about your peripheral. You can't see to the right in high definition. You can't see to the left in high definition. That means if you fight in peripheral battles, you can't achieve your destiny in high definition. Our peripheral vision goes from 2020 to something like 2-2. And we're out here fighting peripheral battles instead of fighting vertical ones. You making me say stuff I haven't said yet. So there you go. Your stuff is hot.
So let's talk about a vertical battle,
Right.
wealth gap, right?
That's
In your
definitely a
book,
vertical battle.
you say the Pew Research Center reported in 2020 that the average hourly wage for black men was $15 compared to 21 for white men. And
Right.
similarly, black women earn $14 compared to $17 for white women. And I think as we keep moving on, it's obviously getting worse. How do you feel like we need to really unite to, I guess, change the tables a little bit on that?
So you got three questions in there. You got the money gap, you got the unite, and changing the tables. Now answer all three. Let's work backward with changing the tables. Changing the tables is not a natural thing to do. That means so it's like, how can we be? So you know what? Let's do changing the tables and unite at the same time. Changing the tables is what you call equality. And I'm here to tell all of you, and I am a scientist at heart. There's no such thing on this planet as equality. Equality must be made. So if you want to change the status, the people in power must intentionally lower themselves to raise others. Every sacred text has said that. Every ascended master has said that. In order to have equality, you must 100% make that. If you take a woman's breast, one boob bigger than the other, in order to make them even, they must manufacture a bra and put it on. There's not two snowflakes. Your tires aren't the same pressure, aren't the, it's nothing about this world creates equality. That's why man is supposed to ascend past that. And then create that equality. So when you're talking about how do we change that status, it's not going to change until we admit openly somebody is controlling this lack. See, nature creates abundance, man creates lack. Somebody is controlling this lack, therefore, somebody needs to stop and do it. And I try to address this in my second book. See, I don't write laws. So we need someone who is of whiteness, powerness, to write laws to make it even. Now, let's bring up unity. Well, we should just skip this one altogether because that's 15 podcasts that you would have to do just to talk about unity. So I'll talk about black unity briefly, then I'll talk about black-white unity.
Okay.
Black unity, what we need, what we black people need an agenda and a vision that does not involve white trinkets. Black people need a vision and an agenda that we don't have to beg or be proud of the white fruits of this world. Because we, if we come together like every other culture, then there's our unity. Because whatever we legally agree upon is legal tender. And we don't need to shop at Amazon. You can shop with us. And once we agree upon that, the price goes up. That's black unity. Black white unity. So we're 19 generations behind now. And the only way to get black white unity is to start having conversations that come with solutions. I got a thousand answers here, but I'll just give you one that's just pressing on my heart for me to say right now. Please, for the love of God, stop thinking black entertainers are our leaders. I'm talking to white people and I'm talking to black people.
Please don't let that go over these people's head.
Please, please stop thinking black entertainers are our leaders. I give you a great businessman, Kevin Hart. He is a fantastic businessman. He is not a black leader. I didn't say he's not a black person who leads. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that for him to say what I'm saying right now, Sony would cut his contract. You can't counsel me. I write my own checks.
That's boss moves right there.
I write my own checks. You can't counsel me. And I'm not being rude. I'm not saying anything inappropriate. I'm not being anti-Semitic, although it's perfectly fine to be anti-black. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just telling you that when our hand is being fed, like, we don't go to white people and say, okay, who's a comedian over here? Who's a Steve Harvey over here? No, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. When we get a room for the white leaders, they never are in entertainment. But we always got a shuck and jive, and you pick the best shuck and jiver of us. Now, let me just clear this up, because bro, I'm probably saying way too much on your interview, but let me just clear this up. You're saying
just enough. Keep going.
I'm not saying Kevin Hart, anybody like him, is shucking and jiving. I'm saying that our counterparts got that so ingrained in their head, unless we are their slaves. 13th Amendment, prison, NFL, NBA, this long ass. Because don't get it twisted. You could be a million-dollar slave. Because if I can take it from you, it's not your economy. It's mine. And as long as that is who we're calling black leaders, we ain't got no black leaders.
Mm. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show The Boondocks.
I tried to watch one episode. That is, while I respect creativity and in Regina King, who does so many voices on there, what I just found out not too long ago, I couldn't. But I'm not knocking it. I hear it raised a lot of black people, and it's funny. I've seen a couple of social media clips, but yeah, I've always been me, even at 13, 14.
No, I get it.
Watch it. Yeah.
The reason I ask is there's a part where an entertainer goes on and he makes a song about it was during the 2008 election for Obama, right? And he tries to get behind the back wave, and he tries to position himself as a leader. And it made me think about kind of what you're saying. Artists position themselves as leaders. And when he really got to that stage, he got grilled. He got killed. And it really makes me think, a lot of times we think that just because maybe this person has some money and some fame, that they're really in the rooms, and there's rooms that they're probably never even going to reach.
Well, that's definitely the human psyche. That's most certainly Western culture. If you're a billionaire, you're a genius. If you're a millionaire, you're a genius, right? Like, that's the thing. That's just what we do. I want to defend, and I'm just going to bring up black people. I want to defend Jay-Z, who is one of my heroes. Jay-Z is one of my heroes. My entire life mirrors Jay-Z's. Who was doing great business things. See, I'm not saying these are not great business men. I've made this very clear. My first thing I said about Kevin Hart is he is a fan. I don't even view Kevin Hart as a comedian. I view Kevin Hart as a movie star turned business mogul. I am complimenting Kevin Hart to make this clear. But even Kevin, I don't speak for the king, but I have a solid point when I tell you that I can stand boldly on the truth. I can write resegregation, and I did it as a scholar with my scholar degrees, with footnotes, Chicago Turabian, no opinions. I just presented the facts. I can do that. I can write this book because I write my own checks. A lot of our leaders cannot. I'm not telling you. We're not talking about good. We're not talking about bad. We're not talking about better. I'm just saying that Antonio Theodore Smith Jr., affectionately known as Antonio T. Smith Jr., says, if you can cancel one of our black leaders and take their check, that ain't our black leader.
They
I feel that.
lead while black in our community. But see, we can't cancel Donald Trump. They trying to. The man got 15,000 felonies. Every time I do them, I say even more. And he, right? And you can't cancel him because he has his own economy. You get what I'm saying?
Definitely.
You can't cancel someone that has their own economy. So let me talk about Donald Trump real quick. He's a winner. You don't have to like that I said it. If you split this up in little pieces, make this one of your hot takes. Donald Trump is a winner. I'm not eating no sweet potato pie with him. He's a winner. Why is he a winner? Because he wins. And then on top of that, he has his own economy. Now, is he the kind of winner that my grandmother would like? Hey, I'm gonna leave my dead grandmother alone and not bring her into this conversation. But you get the point. I recognize winners for what they are. Because the people who will want to disagree with me can't even fly out to disagree with me.
I wish I had that mic drop, little MIDI square right now. I would turn this thing up. Man, you really said something there. So I'm not going to transition, but I kind of want to piggyback off what you said because I believe this is important, not only in our community, but just in general. I believe a lot of times you have to learn from people before you. And
You better.
as you've done that with Dr. Claude Anderson, you're doing that now with your book. And as an accomplished entrepreneur and leader in your own way, mentor, what responsibilities do you feel towards having to mentor the next generation of black business leaders and just leaders in general?
It's my reasonable service. It's carbon-based creatures have two things to do on this planet: survive, live, and pass down information to the next generation. That's the only thing, that's the only two things any carbon-based creature has on this planet. That's a virus, that's COVID, that's bacteria, that's chlamydia, that's gonorrhea, that's lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, mosquitoes, for God's sake, because I live in a tropical area. Flies, humans, dogs, cats, vampires, and unicorns. They all have two purposes on this planet: to live and then to pass down information to the next generation. So if a cell, that's a carbon-based creature, if the environment, and oof, please pay closer to what I'm about to say. If the environment is unfavorable to that cell would choose immortality. So that I start becoming selfish and I say, well, I'm gonna get mine, I'm gonna get mine. You see this on Haslow's, my hierarchy of needs. I'm gonna get mine, I'm gonna get mine, and it's everything's about me, because my environment is unfavorable, so I must choose immortality. I must choose. But my environment is favorable. So when you have an environment that is favorable, what does the cell do? It reproduces. And I live a favorable environment. I've created a favorable environment. There was a time when my environment was not favorable, so I shouldn't have been mentoring nobody. I'm trying to help you out. See, we all need to be mentoring, but if your environment is not favorable and you're in immortality mode, keep your mouth shut and go find a mentor. But the moment your environment becomes favorable, it's your reasonable service as an organic creature of this universe. My job in a favorable environment is to reproduce. And since I can't go out here and have 19 million babies, I can get on an interview and mentor 19 million somebody else's babies. That's how we do it. I'm a scientist, man. My book is very much written that way. Well, it comes from me being special operators. But anyway, you got it.
Okay, I
I
like
forgot to
that.
I forgot to put on my chapstick before the interview. I was like, keep licking my lips.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. So we're getting kind of to the middle point. I want to kind of go off tangent for a minute, right?
Sounds good to me.
I know you are an avid reader, someone that also enjoys a lot of, I wouldn't say self-help, but make you smarter books. Let's say it that way,
For
right?
sure, for sure, for sure.
So I'm gonna name off a few other authors. And I want you to, if you have read any of their books, I want you to tell me your favorite book and why.
Is this rapid fire or is this
You got
or
about a minute for each.
okay, got you.
I want you to be able to get your point out, but we're not going to stick to it too much.
Okay, I'll try to give you 30 seconds that back.
Okay. First one is John C. Maxwell.
Oh yeah, for like he's got like 90 something books, so I've read books with giants, laws of leadership, all sorts of stuff. He's a fantastic businessman, but when you're talking about selling 27 million books in your lifetime, assuming he made a quarter, just a quarter, you probably want to pay attention to a man like that, especially coming from a church background. This man comes from a church background. Y'all know we don't even like church folk making money like that. Don't nobody complain about him making money. I'd say he won.
I like that. Okay, so let's keep it going. Robert T. Kiyosaki.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. So I read all his books, every last one. I'm even the one on the kids. I'm in the process of starting a board game like his. His board game was called Cash Flow, the 101 and 201. Mine is called 0.01. Well, I'll save you the explanation for that right now. I can have a board game out right now, but anyway, it's gonna come out after the resegregation series is out. My favorite book about Robert Kiyosaki is Cash Flow Quadrant, the follow-up to Rich Dad Poor Dad. And it's just fantastic. But yeah. Robert Kiyosaki is he's when I started sending properly in money, it was Robert Kiyosaki. I actually went to Kaza.com. Look at that. Went to
Hey, dropped it
Kaza.com.
for y'all. Dropped it for y'all.
But don't go there. I don't know if they got viruses. I'm talking about way back in the day,
Oh,
you know, when
okay.
you
I'm
do
like,
bear
hey, free
share and
tea, free
stuff.
tea.
The bear share. I had put it on my MP3. I had a bunch of audio. This was before podcasts. I had a bunch of audio books from him just reading and stuff while I would work out. So yeah, for sure. Robert
I
Kiyosaki's the man.
remember those LiveWire bear share
No doubt.
days.
No doubt. Him
Those
and
were fun.
no doubt. Him and Donald Trump taught me something very important that I'll never forget, but maybe we'll bring it back up.
Okay. So you actually mentioned this person earlier, Robert Greene.
I think Robert Greene is, in my personal opinion, now I have not given my opinion this whole interview. I've just presented facts with charisma. In my personal opinion, y'all don't need to be reading your. Well, I'm going to be mad. They're going to get mad at me. The only books you really need to read is your spiritual book of choice, whatever that Quran, Bible. And in this order, 48 Laws of Power, 33 Strategies of War, Mastery, and Art of Seduction. If you just read those books, thine needeth not read nothing else on the planet. Because 48 Laws of Power and 33 Strategies of War are exactly how the dominant coach is in charge today. Art of Seduction teach you how to keep your Teach you how to influence people. It also teaches you how you're being influenced as well, but will or seduced, but we'll move on. I think that's a minute.
Fun fact, I'm actually in the middle of reading Art of Seduction right now,
It's
so
a
you're definitely
fantastic book.
right.
It's a fantastic book. If you know how you seduce people, you tap into that. Since I know me so well, I'm making this interview hot fire. Because I know me so well. I mean, not to take away from you know what I'm saying? But I know me and I know how I seduce. And right now, someone's going, I didn't like him at first, but that young man's intelligent, right? I know
You gotta know your strengths and
you gotta know
weaknesses,
it. Man, you gotta know it.
And that book is helping me bring out my main character energy recently. So I
I like
appreciate
that, and
that.
I like the way you said it too.
Let's go to Gary Vaynerchuk.
I think I yeah. So I've read. I used to watch Gary V every single day. I mean, every single day. I haven't watched Gary V in the last 3 years because I've been building on my own, and I just got all the noise out. But I just recently caught a couple clips on. But I mean, jab, right hook, all his books. He's got another one coming out in like a week or something. That's probably gonna be his greatest. It's coming out in like a week. Read all his books. My favorite Gary V book is the follow up to Jab, 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 Right Hook. What's it called? It's the follow up.
Hook
I mean,
story pitch, isn't it?
but I, but yeah, it's like Hook Story. Yeah, it's got that in there. Yeah, it's the follow up to it though. He put it out like five books later, but it's the follow up to it. I personally love Gary V on every level. I've been told that I have the heart of Gary V, but the lion or whatever you want to call it of Grant Cardone. So they say I act like Gary Grant Cardone. No, I act like Grant Cardone, but I got the heart of Gary V. I'm not sure what that means, but I've been told that multiple times. I believe
Funny
everything
you
Gary
say
V
his
say,
name.
but I need money right now. You know, like I'm with that Grant
But
Cardone. All that long-term stuff, I ain't trying to hear all that. I'm not saying Gary V wrong.
business is a long-term game too, though.
It is very much a long-term game. I'm also a cold call salesperson. That's how I came up. And ain't nobody trying to have no 30-year plan for my commission. You understand? I want my commission now.
It's my money and
All right,
I need it now.
I've got those two mixed up in me, but I love Gary V. He's Gary V. I'm subscribed to like five podcasts total ever. And here's my podcast subscriptions. Some podcasts about Harry Potter. Don't judge me. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. I just am.
Oh,
Grant, a
don't you have
huge.
something like Harry Potter?
Oh yeah,
Something
it's right behind
called
me.
yeah, what tell
Kofi
us a little bit about
Sy.
that.
Kofi Sy and Nancy Gardner is the first ever. Somebody had to point out to me. I had to look it up. The first ever African wizardry book set in West Africa, Ghana. And it's oh, it is. You say something so they can see you got it on camera. You gotta say something, so you know, to say it, they
Oh yeah,
see.
so they can see it, you know,
There
say it's right here.
it
But I
is.
did
There it is
that so
right
you get
there.
the
No, I
thumbnail.
appreciate it. Yeah. It's they it's I've been told it's Wakanda, X-Men, and Harry Potter mixed in one. It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. Anyway, yeah, Gary V. Shout out to Gary V. And oh, my podcast. Gary V, Grant Cardone, Harry Potter, and Jordan Peterson. These are only podcast. Oh, and I think it's those are the only part. If I'm in another one, I'll let you know while you're talking. Let me see. I'm gonna check. But I'm
Okay.
very mind the game. JJ Redick and JJ Redick and LeBron
Okay.
James. I just subscribed to them. Yeah. So that's it. I'm very meticulous. I consume anything, but if I'm a follow you, then we go together, and I don't go with everybody. You
Real
understand?
bad.
I don't go with everybody. Yeah.
Okay, last one is going to be Russell Brunson.
Oh yeah, I've read everything by Russell Brunson. I could Expert Secrets, trackforsecrets.com secrets. I wouldn't even know how to make money online without Russell Brunson. Let's just keep it real. Like as far as me, I know how to get attention from Gary V. That's not fair to Gary V. I know how to get attention and listen to my audience from Gary V. That's more accurate. I told half the story. I know how to.
If you're an entrepreneur or a business owner aiming to expand or manage your online presence, Dynadot is the perfect partner for you. At Dynadot, registering for a domain is not just easy, it's cost effective. With services like their free domain privacy, free website builder, and free email address with every registration, along with the robust platform for domain investors to buy or sell domains, Dynadot matches the need of growing digital brands. Their tools are designed for everyone and require no technical knowledge whatsoever. Everything is built with accessibility in mind, from the advanced domain search to their intuitive website builder. On their platform, you'll find industry-low domain registration prices with domain extensions specifically for entrepreneurs like you who are ready to make their next big moves. Secure your website's domain name today with Dynadot and let your online journey take off. Visit Dynadot.com/success to get started. That's Dynadot.com/success to get started. That's Dynadot.com/success to get started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Clothes from Grant Cardone, but the functionality, the online business system. Oh, that's Russell Brunson. That's Russell Brunson. Now, over time, I've morphed all these guys into my own self, so I got my own sales process, my own stuff. But yeah, just to give all of them props for sure.
So, Mr. Antonio,
yes, sir.
Founder of Density 6 and ATS, right?
I do that.
Tech.
Yep.
Billionaire, however you want to say it. Also, Bofum. And AI prompt engineer, programmer.
Oh, it sounds like you really
know what you're doing with a computer, right?
Oh, yeah. I make a dance.
So, in your book, you talk about Silicon Valley.
Absolutely.
It says, for instance, it hailed as a hub for technological innovation, harbors glaring racial imbalances.
Right.
So how do you feel like Density 6 and you can help mitigate some of those racial imbalances in technology?
Well, first off, I'm Black, so it's just automatic. I have the eyes of a Black man. So let's say I give you a great example here. You'll see when you go to the airport and you put your hand under the sink so you wash your hand and it don't work, or you put your hand in front of the thing and get the napkin and it don't work, it worked for white people because it's designed by white people. So the sensor is looking for the reflection of light against your hand. But my very melanated self, if I turn my hand around, my hand dark skin. For those of you not on, look, there's a huge difference between the palm of your hand and the palm of mine. The palm of my hand looked like a red bone. You know, I'm talking about black language, you know, like, ooh, that girl, yeah, she a red bone. You know what I'm saying? Like literally. So this is why it don't work for me. And since I have this problem, I would make sure the spectrum of light that my sensors are looking for would cover all people. You know what I'm saying? So just my experience as being a Black person, I'm going to bring in. Now, here's the deal. Our white counterparts ain't supposed to think like that. They would. Remember I told you wealth must be, well, I didn't tell you about wealth, but I said equality must be created.
Yes.
So they did the best they could, but they don't have the frame of reference to come down even father to a hand that looks like this because they don't have one. Mm-hmm. How can I expect Mark Zuckerberg to think like a black man and he ain't never been one? I'm not holding this brother to the fire of an indictment, but this is why we need more diversity in tech, which is what I was arguing right there in that particular point.
So
there's a lot of stuff like I'm doing credit, AI credit repair, finance app, blah, 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 all sorts of stuff. And it is very much so through the minds of black and brown people who have a hard time maintaining their credit. I'm very much thinking about them, which is why I got the price point down to $49 anyway. But anyway, keep going.
You did drop a little bit of tea about that app, but I ain't going to give them too much until you're ready on that one.
They can catch it on SportsCenter. They can catch it on SportsCenter.
SportsCenter. Speaking of SportsCenter, you have a new podcast, right?
Yes. We've got the Cleverly Clowning Sports Show. It's on my YouTube page. Here's the deal. I'm not trying to be in sports. Obviously, I'm analytical.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Reggie, and Grace, and now we got Ron, and now Ebony. She nailed herself in there, which and I'm saying that's a good way. Me and Reggie and Grace been talking for 5 years. We need to talk about sports because all me and Reggie and Grace do all day long is talk about sports. That's all we do. And we be having such hot fire conversation. We like, man, we should have recorded that. And finally, we did. So really what it is, and people like it, but really what it is three friends got together and finally did what they said they was going to do. And I had to call it Cleverly Clowning because Reggie is a clown. A full clown. This is natural personality. And so, anyway, Cleverly Clowning Sports Show. Shout out.
Perfect. And when can we catch new episodes? Just wondering.
Every Wednesday, about 1 o'clock is up. Every
on
Wednesday.
Your YouTube page, Antonio T. Smith Jr.?
Yeah. Just put Antonio T. Smith Jr. I think at the ATSJR. There's the handle. THEV. I know I got a Texas draw, but like the THEATS and then Junior, but JR. Yeah.
Okay.
THEATSJR made a pop up.
So the concept of resegregation can possibly be mislooked or provocative to some, right? How do you address these concerns that it could perpetuate division instead of unity and equality?
That's probably the best question I've received ever concerning what you just said. That has to be the best question that I think. Here's the deal. I'll give you a short answer, long answer. The short answer is I'm not trying to combat that for two reasons. For one, if it's causing division, I'm just going to listen. I'm not an asshole. So you listen, let's keep it real. Division stops when you communicate. There's a plan of action. You do that, right? You can do that. So if someone says it's division or something, then I'm going to listen for that. And the next time I come back through and all that stuff, then I change. I change. That's number one. Also, number two, I'm also not writing. I'm not trying to explain myself either. So I've often said, so I call this unhealthy desire for black people to want to be accepted by white society. So we can get the white insurance, and the white car, and the white promotion, and I call them trinkets. So I've often been quoted, and you can quote me, I'm never going to stop saying it. We have an unhealthy addiction to white trinkets because black folk don't have, white folk don't have an unhealthy addiction. Well, that's actually not true. I was going to say white people don't have an unhealthy addiction to black trinkets, but hip hop, cornrows, they doing trap music in Korea. So they love our culture, just don't love our people. That's a blanket statement. It's definitely not fair to all white people. It's absolutely unfair. Now, I addressed that in my second book of how unfair that blanket statement is. But here's the, now, so that's the short answer. Here's the long, well, I guess here's an equally long answer. Resegregation means to battle against poverty, or excuse me, battle for prosperity with strategic warfare under economics, finance, data information, manufacturing, infrastructure, communications, and human resources. And when you dominate these areas, there's no reason to engage in any physical violence of any kind. My philosophy revolves around harnessing these sectors, having Black people get in front of them and own them before each of these sectors put us out of business. Because Black people are typically a labor force and not producers. So there you go. Yeah, my long definition was actually shorter than my answer.
I
My
like
no
that.
definition was longer. There you go.
And I believe when you're trying to make a difference and you're trying to put something out there, you got to just worry about the angle. You know, there's going to be naysayers, you know, there's going to be obstacles, but you worry about the angle and the overall premise of what you're doing, right?
Right,
So,
right. And all great truths start off as heresy, and every leader we've ever had, we've crucified. There's never been a leader that has not been crucified.
let's just talk a little bit about leaders.
A
If
leader
you could, oh, go ahead, go ahead.
is someone exerting influence over somebody. That's simple as that. That's what leadership is.
Right.
So a mother telling her infant something, even if the infant can't talk, that's leadership. As long as you are exerting influence over any people group, anything, you're a leader. Now, good leader or bad leader, that's on you and your level of influence. So when you lose leadership, when you lose people, it's not that you lost people, it's you lost your influence with the people who just left. Because all the leader has is influence. So all the leader has is influence. And with influence, you get people to follow you. If you don't have nobody following you, you don't have any influence. And if you lose those people, you lost influence with them. So that's leadership. I mean, I can give you, I have, you know me, I got these Antonio Smith answers. I can give you what's in a textbook, but real talk,
No, we're here for
leadership.
you. We don't want a textbook.
Yeah.
People don't read those things, but we read and watch you. And I think
Definitely.
that the people need to understand why, right?
Right.
So when was a time, maybe, or a story you could share with us where you were able to see some of your principles applied in real life, or maybe you were able to practice these principles that you talk about in your book?
Well, I'm looking at you. You are, I'm not even trying to give you props on your interview, but might as well since we're here. I'm looking at you become a self-efficient economy on your own by watching what I do, listening to what I do. You're no longer just trying to take pictures, shoot videos. You're trying to become a whole studio, and you're trying to become a studio with distribution. You're not thinking about let me shoot a YouTube video for a client. You're thinking about let me get 10 million people to watch this thing I just did. You literally embody every last one of my principles. You're starting a streaming service. You're writing scripts. You are head of all the media in my company. Every single thing you're doing, you went from. How can you, I've watched you. You went from let me, how can I get one person to now you think, wait, why am I not reaching millions of people? Why millions of people not coming to me? That's everything we've talked about so far. That's the economy. That's the finances. That's the research. That's the data information. That's It's all of it. That's the manufacturing, it's the human resources, it's the communications, data info. I said information already, right? Manufacturing, that's what I'm missing. You're doing it. So shout out to you. You are the
Thank you.
greatest. Yeah, you're one of the greatest examples. It's 100%.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So there's one part you put in there kind of about examples, right? It's always great to have an example. What was one example in your life besides maybe Dr. Claude Anderson that helped you to get to where you're trying to go or get to where you are now?
So three of them. I just did an interview with Dr. George Frazier. The book two is actually dedicated to him. So he was one of the people. If you watch the interview, you see me starstruck the whole time. He's one of the people that were mentoring me for decades. Never knew I existed. You know, never knew I existed. So shout out to Dr. George Frazier. But there's two men greatly responsible for where I am today, and it's two different areas of my life, 2012 and 2017, or I should say 2011, 2012, 2007. So I was with Joel Osteen from 2012 to 2015, and I was with Les Brown from 2017 to like 2019, even though I'm still with Les Brown because I work with his youngest daughter as a CEO. I work with her weekly, but there's no but there. I just run my own company now, you know, things like that. Everything, when Les Brown taught me how to communicate like a master speaker the way he did, even though I was already good, but he took it even further. That's when I became a millionaire. But everything about me, character-wise, comes from Joel Osteen. It really does. Joel Osteen, John Bowman, Pastor Steve Austin. I interned at Lakewood Church for 2 years, stayed on for another third year. I went from a 67-member church to now pastoring 20,000 men. And then Pastor John Bowman from Lakewood Church, he's still there right now, like Joel's right-hand man. He had me just fixing me. When he found out I had a business mindset, he would put me in different areas to fix things and do things. And then I'm one of the only people, I'm the one who's set, and I say this respectfully, I mean, not respectfully, but gratefully. I did so Lakewood was reaching out to Fifth Ward for 10 years. That's my plan. They asked me, what can we do? And I was like, you know what? Lakewood should be seen reaching out to small churches in the community. They chose Fifth Ward because Pastor Osteen was his dad had roots there, and they've been helping churches ever since. And think about this: I'm an intern that's been there for at that time 6 months, and they take one of my plans and run it for 10 years. That's an honor. That's a
Yeah.
huge honor, but that's the first time I was ever exposed to business on that scale. So now, when you think about this, I'm 30, I'm early 30, and I got 20,000 people at my command, so to speak, and I'm doing things for late. Now I can't be small business no more, because one of John C. Maxwell that you brought up, Law of the Lids, he got in one of them his book, he got Law of the Lids. My lid is Lakewood Church big? How can I come back to small business when Joel Osteen stretched my lid? So there you go. Yeah. I'm sure there's other people. Oh, the guy who saved me, I wouldn't even be out of high school without Coach Michael Merritt. So he's well documented in my story. But other than that, I mean, everybody's important, but these men, without meeting these men, I'd be nothing. There's no doubt about it.
There's a story in there, or a story or whatever in there, what you said, and I think that's extremely important. I was able to learn from someone great before me, and now I can be great on my own to for the
Yeah,
next person, right?
that's right.
And so making that transition now from mentee to mentor, how Is there some words of encouragement or something that you can give to a young mentee that's looking to be a mentor now?
Well, let me give it to the mentees and the mentors, both of them, young or old. There's three phases as I see it. This is one of them Antonio things. There ain't no book. There's three phases of mentorship. Phase number one, when I start mentoring Jalen, he's going to listen to everything I say. Hook, line, sinker. Once he starts learning, step two, or phase two, I should say, he's going to now start saying, okay, let me question this a little bit so I can make it better. Once he starts to be doing that, then what he's going to do, that's going to make him a master at some point, which leads to phase three, and I'm going to slow down so mentees and mentors can hear me. Jalen is supposed to walk away from me in my mentorship. Now, there's two ways to walk away. Well, excuse me. You walk away two different directions. There's two ways to walk away in those two different directions. This means Jalen's going to leave my mentorship in my company and start his own, or Jalen's going to leave and then, even if his feet don't move, then come back and the student now works with the master. Either way, you're gonna leave. You get it? Because you won't be my mentee no more. You're gonna be master. You're gonna be my former student. You won't be my mentee. You get it? So even if you stay, you're gonna be my former student who is now equal footing with me. That's leaving. Even if you stay, that is leaving. So those are the two ways. You leave and they're going to start their own thing. You're supposed to celebrate that. Or he leaves and he works with me. You're supposed to celebrate that, which now leads me to the dangerous part. However, Jalen leaves is on his character. And however I accept him to leave is on my character. This is where we go wrong. This is where we go wrong. Because when it's time for you to start Jalen Hughes Studios and it don't have nothing to do with what I'm doing, according to the level of my ascension and my character and my childhood trauma is how I'm going to treat you when you do it. And you're going to leave according to your level of ascension, your character, and your childhood trauma. That's how you're going to leave. It's what it is. It's right. We don't have problems. What we have is character issues that bubble up in relationships. There's no relationship problems. We have character issues that get seen in our relationships. That's what we have. So once you see that, man, that's when things become big. I'm looking forward to you leaving because I'm smart. I'm gonna be like, if you leave and go somewhere, I'm gonna be like, hey, man, can we do the distribution in Texas? Can we do the distribution abroad? Like, I'm gonna find a way. To get, because you're not fit to be going out here getting money, and I ain't gonna get no piece of it. You understand? I mean, I want you to get all your money, but you gotta hire somebody. Might as well hire me. You might as well hire me. You understand?
I think when we started, one of your biggest things that I remember you saying is, I'm going to be your biggest customer.
That's right. I did
And
say
I
that.
believe that when it comes down to it, even though, truthfully, I've always asked for information, but the
No doubt.
information you've given me is way more than money could have asked for. And so, as I ascending in my own mind or in my own whatever, I think about determination and persistence. And I think that that is something that you have definitely talked about in your book. Can you give us a little bit about how you stay determined and persistent and why you think it's extremely important in this journey?
Fair enough. Going backwards just a little bit. Wait till I give you these $30 billion worth of cameras and stuff like that. That's you understand. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. I stay persistent because I'm stupid. And I think people need to stop being so smart. I think stupidity is our greatest power. Because listen, somebody likes saying stupid. So let's say ignorant then. I think Webster Dictionary defines ignorance as a state of being uninformed, uneducated, or unaware. When I was a kid, I used to have to read the dictionary. It's like a punishment. So I just memorized all these things.
Good old Webster.
Me being ignorant It's when failure pops up in my face, I don't see it as failure. I'm too stupid to see it as failure. I just see it as an obstacle and I keep going. A big chunk of success is to be too stupid to stop. You just have to do that. Yeah. You know, you're working out and you go, ah, man, it's cold and it's raining. You too smart. You weren't supposed to think about how it was cold and raining. You were supposed to be stupid and get your butt up and go work out anyway. But we so smart, we come up with these intelligent excuses. And remember, your sabotager is equally as brilliant as you. So we need to be so stupid, our sabotager stays stupid as well. That's how I stay persistent, man. It's my advice, bro. I really ain't got nothing else. Not on that subject. You know, I'm from the hood, so I mean, I can give you the degrees if you want to. The persistence. Let me answer that again with the degrees. Watch and see. I'm answering just for your audience. I'm answering again with the degrees. You know, I think persistence comes from Newton's first law of motion, but we're going to inverse it. Newton's first law of motion says an object at rest will remain at rest until an unbalanced force acts upon it. But when we inverse that, an object in motion will remain in motion as long as an unbalanced force acts upon it. So what I would like to tell you, Jalen, from a scientific standpoint, that mass times acceleration equals force, and persistence is simply force in motion. So mass is something that I'm gaining. Einstein says it's energy squared. Therefore, my dream, I must be gaining that, as you brought up. I must be reading Robert Kiyosaki. I must be reading, doing interviews, reading Robert Greene. I'm getting more mass on my dream. Now it's time to speed that up. That's the movement. Now I need to take that mass and I need to accelerate it. And once I put mass, my brilliance, and I start putting it into motion, no matter how ignorant that motion is, scientifically, universally, without provocation, force must happen. And the more I learn something and move in the direction I'm learning, is the more I'm a force. And the more I'm a force moving, the more I'm persistent. See, I get both those answers said the same thing. People just, I give you both.
I like how you broke it down, because you know people do learn different ways, and sometimes it's the way you say it. My mom always told me, it ain't what you say, it's how you say it.
Well, there you go. So if you learn direct, hey man, just give it to me real. Be too stupid, you're too smart. Okay, you want the Gary V? You're too stupid. I mean, you're too smart. Be stupid. Or do you want? What's my favorite scientist name? I don't know. I'm not gonna Neil Tyson Degrassi. Well, you can get Neil Degrassi, right? Don't matter. And I've got, when y'all read Resegregation, you're gonna see. Oh, he wrote this with his degrees. I can do both.
Yeah. Okay.
Ladies, so find your man that can do both.
Big facts on that one, right? So you said something in there about dreams. Yeah. And when I think about dreams, I think about aspirations, right?
Fair enough.
And I also think about visions. So what role do you see technology playing in the realization of your vision for Black economic empowerment?
Okay, I was about to answer too fast. I was going to answer the your vision part, but when you said the Black technological empowerment, it changes my answer now. Black people, if you do not get behind technology, when they fire one white person, in which they will, they're going to fire five of you. I'm going to make this very clear. No job is safe. No job is safe.
Well, Antonio, yes, it is. I mean, nobody wants farmers.
I am currently working, 42-year-old Black man with locks is currently working on putting AI in forms right now. I got a whole division for it. If I'm doing that, you know doggone well Bill Gates is. I'm doing it right now. I am sending somebody to school for, oh my God, I'm regenerative agriculture something, God dog, or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
her
current,
title's long.
yeah, it's not. I am currently right now starting AI forms as we speak. I'm putting people out of business, so you know you're gonna get put out of business. So get behind technology. Why? Because technology has one purpose on this planet since we was in caves, to stop make you working. That's the point of technology. When we were in caves, it was too much work, so we invented the wheel so we don't have to. When we were in caves, it was too much work, so we invented fire so we don't have to. Fire is technology. A wheel is technology. When we were wanderer-gatherers, Neanderthals, humanoids, the cave was technology. And any hunter-gatherer that did not become civilized and go to caves, they did not reproduce. And survival of the fittest, Darwin's theory of evolution. Since they did not reproduce, they're not here. That's why we don't look like humanoids. That's why we look like us. Anybody who would not, any wolf that did not adjust and become civilized, didn't become dogs. It's as simple as that. Wolves are dogs. There's no such thing as species of dogs. Humans make that up. Humans breed. Look this up, y'all. I'm a millennial. I expect y'all be looking at everything up I'm saying. Ain't no such thing as no bulldog and all that stuff. That's us taking wolf and splicing genes. We created that. Wolves, you could be a hunter-gatherer, or you could use technology and become civilized. And technology's number one job. If they say, well, it's capitalism, technology is bad for capitalism, Jesus said, and I'm not trying to bring up the Bible, but Jesus said in the first century, before there was an America, before there was capitalism, the poor would be with you always.
Yeah.
So technology has one purpose, for you not to do that thing you were doing. And it's supposed to put you out of a job because we ain't supposed to be working no job like that. That's not the point of humanity. Y'all just so brainwashed, hook, line, and sinker, drinking David Koresh Kool-Aid, and you waiting on aliens to come and while you drink the suicidal Kool-Aid. That's an industrial, the way y'all think of jobs, that's an industrial age thinking. The universities got with the industries, got with the manufacturers, and that's why you think of a job. My last name is Smith because whatever descendant of slaves I come from, somebody was a blacksmith, swordsmith, Lee Smith, booksmith, some Smith. And we built our own houses. We said, that's my land over there. That's a whole job. That's a whole job of technology, y'all. Whole job of technology is Jaden ain't supposed to be doing that. So there you go.
That was very well said. And one thing that I really get from that is adaptation.
Facts.
You know, learning how to be better, to make things better for yourself.
Big facts.
And as we're wrapping up, I want the people to learn just a little bit about you as a person, too. And how do you feel like your writing style and your business style has adapted during your journey?
Significantly. Okay, the business style would be the easiest one to answer. My business style, first off, get down or lay down is my business philosophy because I come from the hood. That's not changing. I will find educated ways to tell you that. You know, like Facebook, move fast, break things. They don't do that no more. But get down and lay down is my business philosophy. Here's what I mean by that. There's no third parties. We're going to invent something, and if we can't do it, I don't want it. But once I invent it, it's get down or lay down. You are going to let me buy you, or I'm taking your customers. It is what it is. Because that's how you're doing me. You wait till I start disrupting Microsoft. Mr. Smith, if you could come out here to Silicon Valley, we'd appreciate you to sit down for a moment. Appreciate you to sit down. Just sit. No, sit right here, sir. Sit right here. You want some bananas? What you want? Just sit
And I'm
down.
on the plane with the camera.
You're on the plane with the camera. Sir, how you doing, sir? Feed him some grapes. Feed him some grapes. Are you doing all right? Listen, $100 billion. No, this how it go. Well, we want to buy your company for $1 billion. And we're like, no, I'm not interested in selling. I'm not interested in selling, but thank you so much. Okay, fine. $100 billion. Well, you know what? I never did want this company. You know, I never did. I never did want this company. This is how it works. Get down and lay down. That's my business philosophy. So, writing though, I read so much that it changes my writing. Now I write fiction books like crazy, and I ghost write like crazy. My writing comes from my business acumen. Because most of my success in business comes from listening to my audience. Remember, I told you Gary Vee is a nicely responsible for that. Well, listening to my audience so much, I have a really good read on people now. So I know what people want to read and hear when they're reading. And so my reading has significantly changed because I'm not writing what I want. I'm writing what I know is going to be high fire.
And I
Absolutely.
think that's a true entrepreneur because it's solving that solution for people in some ways, right?
You absolutely. Can you mind if I say how I did that with resegregation?
Please
Because
do,
this is a
sir.
great example. Resegregation is written for white people to go, that's an amazing book. Because most of my audience is white. Now, I understood if I wrote a book for black people, they wouldn't go read it. Not to say we messed up. It's just, I don't know. I have an explanation there, but I'm not even going to give it. I'm going to leave that thought incomplete. But I understood once white people said, oh my God, this book is amazing, and raised my hand. Winner is Antonio. Black people are going to go, oh, he winning? Oh, let me check that book out. So I wrote the book for white people to lift my hand, and black people go, you know, I got to check that out. And it's working because right now, my team is first. The book has stayed an international bestseller. It stays in top, I don't know, whatever. It's always in top 20, always in top 100, sometimes top one. But now it's getting submitted to libraries and universities around the world.
Ascension.
Libraries and universities, because it's a three book series. May 25th, part two comes out. December 21st, part three comes out. And watch this. And this came from Dr. George Fraser. He said that. He said it to me. He told me, man, your book's supposed to be in libraries when after he read it. And so now it's being submitted to libraries. I wrote, think about writing a black book that libraries say we must have that in our reference column. That's what I mean by my writing has changed. I wrote resegregation for it to be hot fire. That's why it has those footnotes. That's resegregation part one, ladies and gentlemen, has 1,025 references. I read 1,025 books and I interact with them. Every paragraph I say, critics say this, 1,025 different resources. To write one book. Part two has 475. I did that on purpose because a black man talking about black problems, he venting. A black man presenting the facts, well, he's a genius.
Yeah.
That's how my writing
Optics.
has changed. That's how my writings has changed. I know how to read my audience very well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you
That's
can't sell
awesome.
nobody nothing if you don't
And you
know.
can't lean nobody if you don't know the person they are, so how they need to be led, right?
There you go.
So, as we're kind of wrapping up, I do not want the people, I do not want what you said earlier to go over to people's head. When and where can we get Resegregation 2 and Resegregation 3?
Fair enough. Everywhere online for sure. Target, Walmart, Amazon. You get your books from everywhere. Resegregation 1 came out sometime in November. Resegregation 2 comes out May 25th, 2024, or 25 May 2024. Because if I put this on my channel, I have an international audience and they do dates differently because, right? The 25 May 2024, Resegregation 3 comes out December 21st, 2004, or 21 December 2024, not 2004. I'm sorry. You won't be traveling back in time and getting the book. 2024. The title for Resegregation 1 can be shortened to The Power Matrix. The title for Resegregation 2 is The Facts of the Black Oppression and the Problems Facing the White Ally. The book is split in half. Here's why Black people are struggling. And here's why white people can barely help us. Because we tripping, they tripping, government tripping, right? Because the white ally wants to help. The white ally wants to help. But if they help, then they get treated like a Negro too.
Yep.
Resegregation 3, I've been keeping this topic, this title secret, but I exposed it with Dr. Claude Anderson, so I'll do it now. I mean, excuse me, Dr. George Frazer, I'll do it now. Black people, excuse me, white people started slavery, but black people keep it going. There you go.
I feel like you can't leave them out on that. But before we do, since you kind of went back to that time, if you were in that time, would you have been more of a Malcolm X or more of a Martin Luther King?
Malcolm X, there's no doubt about it. I would have been Malcolm X with the swagger of Martin Luther King. Very much so. I am today. I am today very much Malcolm X, but I have all the degrees. Did you not hear what I just said about persistence? Did you not hear me do mass times force? A mass times acceleration equals four. I have all that. And then don't forget, I speak 300 times a year. And boy, can I go. You know, boy, can I go. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, I can go if I wanted to. Okay. And I'm a good impressionist too. So anyway, just so you know, I would be Malcolm X with the swag of Dr. Martin Luther King, because I can write a paper. I'm actually a PhD student right now. My professor convinced me to go get my, with all the stuff I'm doing, he convinced me to go get my PhD for some of the stuff that I'm doing in the future. So there you go. Yeah, I'm a scholar. I'm gonna be Malcolm X as a scholar.
Multi-talented, multi-faceted, and I was going to say multicultural, but really just black. That is awesome.
I'm always gonna be
Thank
black.
you for being yourself.
Yes, sir.
Before we let you go, I need you to shout out those socials so people know where to find you and see a little bit more about what you do and what they can do to learn from you.
Fair enough. I got a whole phone just to talk to people. I answer myself for area, no, country code plus one for those of you international. And then 409-500-1546. That's 409-500-1546. And it's actually to this phone right here that I had on the screen. 409-500-1546. You can text me directly. Please don't call. This is not 1980. Don't call me. Please, please text. Please text. Don't call me. Just don't do it. I'm an introvert. Don't let this charisma fool you. I am an introvert. Don't call me. Okay. Don't call me. Two, at the ATSJR everywhere, or just type in Antonio T. Smith Jr. in Google, because I think Google is very kind to me. 40, 50 something pages. It's all me. So there you go.
All righty. All righty. Well,
you could also go to AntonioTSmithJr.com for my fiction books.
Oh, and not off topic, but off topic. Okay. There's something new you have coming out about vegetation. I think that people might want to hear about that.
Vegetation Wars I got the Solarian verse. I changed the United States of America to United Cities of Solaria. See? You see what I did there? United Cities of Solaria. And in book one of United Cities of Solaria, I totally nuked planet Earth. And I did that because I have a top secret security clearance sensitive compartmentalized information. So you don't have a former government trained top secret security clearance dude bombing America in his books. When I got missions under me, I was like, well, you know, let me not go to jail, you know, for violating my security clearance. Let me fictionalize this up a little bit more, right? You get that point. But yeah. Vegetation Games is set 1,000-something years after them nuke strike. All my books in one universe. There's over 100-something books come out in one universe. And there's three different theories of how vegetation on the planet has mutated to where it's sentient, but not just sentient, smarter than humans. So since humans have been, books called Vegetation Wars come out May 25th. So Resegregation and Vegetation Wars come out the same day. One side fiction, one side nonfiction. And the first sentient means human-like vegetation is now the most powerful entity in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're absolute men now live underground. They've, after 1,000 years, they've changed. They have to mutate a little bit because they live underground. Plants are the number one species. There's human-like plants. There's plants that take over humans because spores and stuff, mind control. And then they have weapons. They mutated to with toxic things come out of them. And it's called Vegetation Wars. And it's all based in actual science. And since we did all the deforestation, since we did global warming and didn't listen, the vegetation of this world got so mad that it became us and is now at war with us to extinct. To not extinct, how do you say that? To genocide mankind so the earth can finally be at rest. And there's one more fact about that. I can't remember what I was going to say. But yeah, anyway, so it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's supposed to be a 4-book series. I typically like my series to have an end. I've already wrote 4 of the series, but if y'all ask for a 5th one, then maybe I will. But it's supposed to be 4. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And I know you have a sneak preview of that. If anyone was interested, where can they get that?
If you go to AntonioTSmithJr.com, I've got the whole first chapter up on my website. The whole first chapter. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. Because after all this tech stuff is done, all I want to do is write books, travel the world, and make love to my wife. That's it. I don't want to do nothing else.
That's awesome, man.
Sorry, kids. You understand? I don't want to do.
That's awesome. So, Antonio T. Smith Jr., mentor, tech billionaire, sir. New York best-selling author. Thank you for gracing us with this stage, and for giving the people some real Black excellence. Continue to be who you are. Continue to break through barriers and mountains. And hopefully we'll get you back on the show again.
No doubt. Remember, everybody, the only reason you code switch because you don't have power. Notice I ain't code switch. I got power. I don't have to code switch.
And we'll end with that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.